All right. Good to see you tonight. Glad you're here. Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 6 for our evening message. Deuteronomy chapter 6. What I'm going to be sharing with you for the first little while here is going to sound so Jewish, I might ought to try to read it in Yiddish. But you know, our Old Testament is a Jewish book. Our entire Bible was written by Jews for the larger part. And they use the same Bible that we do. Their Old Testament is our Old Testament. And what I'm going to read to you tonight is out of the King James Version of the Bible. It's also in the Jewish Bible. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4. And I'm going to speak to you tonight about on the subject of loving God. Now, I don't have to tell you that God loves us. That's evident from the fact that we're here, that we're saved by God's grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's no questioning the love that God has for us. But there's a verse of scripture that says we love him because he first loved us. We sing a song, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and we mean it from our hearts. And God wants us to love him. But we've got so many people today that don't know how. And perhaps we can learn from some of these Old Testament Jewish scriptures. I call them Jewish scriptures because we're going to read here what in Judaism is called the Shema. The Shema is a prayer that is recited twice daily, every day, twice, by adult Jews. The Shema that we're going to read about here in Deuteronomy 6 is kind of a John 3:16 in the Jewish home, because that's the first scripture that they teach their children. They got little kids, and they teach them this. They memorize this. And then as they go through life, it becomes a daily ritual for them. Twice a day they recite this. I want you to listen to these words. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now here's the words of our text. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Now some hard-nosed Christian might stand up and say, well, that's under the law, and we're not under law, we're under grace. If that's the way you feel about it, just tear that page out of your Bible, but it's still going to be there. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. You're going to talk about these. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the gates of thy house, the post of thy house, and on thy gates. The Jews will copy this off, write it down on a piece of paper, and they'll put it in a little box. When I was in Israel, I saw a lot of this. They'll put it in a little box and tie it with a ribbon around their wrist, like you wear a wristwatch. It's got a little box in there, and this is the scripture that it's got in it. When you get around the Wailing Wall, you see them come out, and they got a black, little black box up here on their forehead, between their eyes, and it's got a ribbon that ties in the back of their head, and they've got it there. And inside that little box is this scripture that we just read. Now this is a part of what they call the mezuzah, M-E-Z-U-Z-A-H. I looked it up on the computer, and there's two more scriptures that goes with this, and I'm going to read them both to you because they're very important. The mezuzah is like you would take a scripture verse and print it off on paper and put it in a frame and hang it on the wall, to where every time you walk by it, you would see it. And that's what they do with this. In the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, follow me in your scriptures, verse 13 through 21, this is another part of it. And to think that they read this twice a day, two times every day. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, what is it? To love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. God says, if you'll do this, he said, I will give you the rain on your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then, if you do that, he says, the Lord's wrath will be kindled against you. And when God's wrath is kindled against you, he said, he will shut up the heaven that there be no rain. Listen, God is in control of the weather. He can send rain or he can send drought. Keep that in mind. In this country of ours, it's already beginning to burn up this summer. And that's just the beginning. The fire season doesn't even begin till June. We've got already got forest fires going across this country. They predict there's going to be some more. That there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord hath given you. Therefore, here is what he says, shall ye lay up these words, these my words, he says, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates. Now that sounds just like what we read here in the sixth chapter, isn't it? God's repeating himself. Why? When he says something twice, he is emphasizing it. He's not just adding words to make his book bigger. He's emphasizing it. This is something he wants us to know. Thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon the gates, and that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. But that's still not all of it. There's another passage of scripture that they use in the mezuzah. That's in Numbers chapter 15. In the 15th chapter of Numbers, it starts in verse 37 and goes through verse 41. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, and it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember. When I was a kid growing up, people did something they don't do anymore. They would take a piece of string and they would tie it around their finger. Any of you ever feel the need to do that today? You walk from the house into the garage and you forgot why you're there. You go from one room to another, you forget what you came after. Tie a string around your finger. What's it for? To help you remember. That's what the Lord's telling these people to do, in effect, is tie a string around your finger. Look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, wonder what would happen if we started picking up on that Jewish practice of reading this twice a day. First thing you know, some of us old dummies would probably have it memorized, wouldn't we? I want us to consider this admonition in that sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 4 and 5 in particular. A part that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Now don't say, oh, that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 10, there was a rich young ruler that had a burden of sin upon his heart. He had a desire in his soul to go to heaven when he died. And he didn't know how to be saved. He came to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I want you to see it with your eyes there in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" To inherit eternal life to me is the same as saying, "I want to be saved." Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength." And then he added, "with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." That's what Jesus said. Now we know that the end result of that was that this young man went away sad because he had great possessions. And we don't know whether he was sad because he thought he was going to have to get rid of everything that he had and become a disciple of Jesus. And we don't know what he did. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven and look around and see if we can find him up there. Maybe he did. But Jesus quoted to him from Deuteronomy chapter 6, word for word. And you know, God's desire for his people never changes. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." How much do you love God? Loving God and serving God are both key ingredients in the life of a child of God. Loving and serving seems to go hand in hand. But the question is, how are we to love God properly? Love is a strange word. It's hard to get a grip on sometimes. Maybe everybody has a different definition of the word. Now we know that the Bible teaches us that we are here put on this earth to glorify God. According to 1 Corinthians 10:31, everything that we do is to be done for the honor and glory of God. In our daily living, our actions, our words, even our thoughts are to be guided by a genuine love for God, a love from our heart, our soul, and our spirit. Well, what's the difference between loving God with our heart and loving God with our soul, and loving God with our strength, our might, physical power? The three aspects of it here. Let's look at those. When we talk about loving with the heart, we think of passion love. We think of the heart is being the seat of our emotions, and we're to love God with a passion. Now, we don't have a problem putting passion into our personal interests, our personal desires. But how can we characterize our love for God as passionate love. If we love Him that way, what's the evidence of it? You know, one illustration that I think of is a grandmother. A grandmother is usually a middle-aged or late middle-aged elderly person who has in her purse a whole package of pictures of her grandkids. I've seen this and you have too. This grandmother is going through a checkout counter at the grocery store. She's got her purse out and her billfold is open here because she's going to be showing her Ralph's or Vaughn's card for the discounts and using a credit card to charge the groceries on and such as this. And all of a sudden there are all of these pictures of her grandkids. Now, there may be a whole line of people behind her in the checkout line. But this grandmother says to this cashier, "Let me show you the pictures of my grandkids." And she'll stand there for 10 minutes saying, "Look at this one, and look at this one, and look at this one." That's passionate love, isn't it? So how about our love for God? Are we passionate in serving Him and sharing Him and talking about Him to others? Or are we rather guarded and we shun that subject? If we love God like that grandmother loves her grandkids, we would be talking to everybody that we meet about Jesus Christ and about God and how good God is to us. And every Christian can talk about that because God is good to us, isn't He? In these materialistic times in which we live, it's easier now more than ever before not to love God as we should. I don't believe a single believer among us would stand up and declare that he does not love God. But sometimes our actions may betray us. How much time do we spend reading God's Word? How much time do we spend talking to Him in prayer? Jesus warned us over in the 24th chapter of Matthew about the latter days, and I believe we're living in the latter days. He says, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Cold love. That pretty well applies to our day and age, doesn't it? Sin cools our passion for the Lord. We need to put the old thermometer to our heart and check our love for God. How much passion we have for God. Do we love Him with all of our heart? But then he goes on to say that we're to love Him with all of our soul. Now the soul is our very being. That's what we are. That's the eternal part of us that lives on after this body dies and is buried and goes back to the dust. That soul of man shall never die. That's the immortal, eternal part of us. And we're to love the Lord our God with all of our soul. That means that we are to love God purposefully.